love is worth fighting for.
Let's talk a little bit about our original idea for writing our book. It wasn't what it is now, right?
No, originally we were just talking about maybe having about a 60-page ebook. I know you and I, as a therapist, I come from a different perspective, healing from the inside out. As a mediator attorney, you come from healing from the outside in. And we were saying, well, let's just put our skills together and come up with a little ebook. It should take us not that long. And little did we realize that the book had its own idea and started writing through us.
Yes.
And you know, I want to comment about our working together. It's almost like we had a writing marriage. It was like we had to collaborate and really learn how to dance together, because I can be perfectionistic, and I know you can as well. And we have our different strength of ideas. So this was really a wonderful opportunity for both of us to learn how to collaborate together, to look at our differences, to feel some tension and conflict and walk through that and use the strategies of our book.
Right. And the strategies, thank goodness, work.
Because we're still
friends. And we were able to get the book out there. We walk our talk. We definitely walk our talk. So remember that we originally had done workshops called The Gift of Conflict. Let's talk a little bit about that. We wanted to call it The Gift in Conflict, right? Why did we want to do it, and what did everybody say?
You know, that was our original idea, because we knew that conflict offered a gift if we saw that the conflict was just a representation that needs were not being met, and that if we really were able to deal with the conflict, we could create greater intimacy. But people in our workshops would say, well, who wants conflict as a gift?
Who want to unwrap a gift and find conflict in it, right?
I wouldn't. And then, you know, it was so interesting, because then when we did our workshops, we would give out questionnaires with lists of titles. And then I believe it was your son who actually suggested the title Fighting for Love.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, he did. It was a great idea. And then everybody liked that title. They didn't like our original title. We were going to go The Gift in Conflict. No, The Gift of Conflict. But in essence, really, we do believe that conflict is a gift, because when you work through it, it gives you so many opportunities to grow, just like we did. And we know that in essence, it really is a gift in disguise.
It is indeed, because, you know, I think as in our working together, when we've had to put our techniques into practice, sit down and have a dialogue with each other and get our pen and paper and start working out some of the strategies, it really did help us. And I think I've gotten to know you at a much deeper level, Mari, in this course. I've really gotten to know who you are and then what you really need to feel a sense of trust, to feel like to really be in a relationship and collaboration. Without the conflict, I really wouldn't have known that.
Right. Or if we would have buried the conflict, we would have been very resentful. You know, just like in a love relationship. I mean, you know, every relationship really has to deal with the same issues that we deal with our most intimate partner. But it's the same, but it's a little different with your lover. You know, there's a little bit different. But the same issues of boundaries, of building bridges, of what we call solutioneering, everything really is the same. It's just a different set of circumstances when you have to live with someone. Thank God you didn't have to live with me and I didn't have to live with you.
Well, you know, this kind of takes, we've talked about, what lessons have you learned? What do you think you've gotten from, how have you changed? Mm. And we've been really working on this book for over 2 years. So
yes.
Tell the listeners a little bit about the change that occurred with you as a result of the book.
Well, first of all, when you're working with a therapist, and, you know, you're constantly getting asked questions, well, why do you think that way, you know, and really asking deep questions, it really made me look inside more in many ways. So that was a great gift from you, Leonard, because when something would come up, you'd say, you know, let's talk about this, and I would have to really confront my own thoughts and you know, because I can't be right. You know, I would I rather be right or happy? And so if I had to look at why I thought something, and was it a good enough reason? What is it? Was it really a good enough reason? And, or was I just trying to be right? Or was my thinking really going to add to the book, or was it just because I think I should be right? And so I think that really made me look inside and let go of ego in many, many ways. So I thank you for that.
I think
that's one thing. And I think it also really helped me in my relationship. And as Lloyd is sitting here listening to this, he may not think that, but no, I think he would say the same thing, is that I am much more cognizant of his needs and boundaries and building bridges and letting go. So this book, by doing this book, I really, you know, they say you teach best what you need to learn.
I remember Marcy Simoff, who wrote Love for No Reason, says, be careful what you write, because all your issues about that issue will come up to be healed. And that definitely has been the case with us.
Yes, it was. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking about writing a book, just watch it, because whatever you're going to write a book about, it's going to be in your face.
It's so true. And I was thinking, you know, the thing that you taught me, so you're watching you, working with you, you are an incredible negotiator.
Mm.
So, you know, you just, and if you know your needs, I just learned so much about negotiating and standing up for what I want. So that often if I would be in talking with someone or in a relationship, I said, okay, we either do this or not. But I learned that we can negotiate. We can actually kind of negotiate about how to get our needs satisfied while at the same time knowing what our boundaries are. So that's the thing I really learned watching you. I says, wow. Sometimes I would even in my mind says, I'm going to use Mari's tactics. Yes.
Well, I think, you know, even when we just did that recent workshop, I think people sometimes forget that they can ask what the reasons are why someone wants to do something and not just get mad and say, okay, you can do it your way. Just say, help me understand what you're thinking. And then maybe you can come up with some middle way, because I think people just think my way or the highway, and then the other person says my way or the highway. And if you stop and say, well, gee, why is it that you feel this way? You know, I mean, we kind of had to go through that with the colors on our cover.
Because yeah, we did. In our cover, Mari, we have two boxing gloves, and Mari wanted a rose as the flower.
In between
the two boxing gloves. And the cover designer had a white daisy. And I like the white daisy because it's, oh, she loves me not, or whatever. It was symbolic. But Mari hated the white daisy. I thought, I like that. And she says, I like the red rose. And so we had to really go and say, well, okay, let's talk about what. So we ended up with
a yellow daisy. and it actually looks very good.
It does. It came out really well.
Because we have the primary colors, which really step out.
Yes,
so, you know,
yes.
you'll have to see it. You'll have to go on Amazon to be up. But you can see the two boxing gloves. One's red and one is blue, which, again, I wanted two red ones, kind of looking like the shape of a heart. But he said, no, it's a male and a female. So that made sense. So we really... When you're doing a cover, I mean, we really had to say, well, why do you feel that way? You know, and then there was a problem because the red didn't match.
We use this, I thought it was very effective, because if you ask on a scale of 1 to 10, 10
right.
being, wow, it's really very important, and 1, no.
Or 3, it's kind of important.
Kind of important.
Yeah.
So I know there was a color that we were using, and Mari says, oh, that's a 10. I hate that color. And I thought, wow, I kind of like the color. But if it was a 10 for her, I don't want her to hate the cover of the book.
Every time I look at it.
So she says, okay, let's get rid of that color. Let's find another color that works better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, you could see how we really did walk our talk. So what did you learn about yourself, Leonard?
You know, again, I think I continually learn about boundaries. You know, the thing that I learned is in relationships, sometimes I can be overly adaptive and accommodating. And trying to meet the needs of the others so that I'm loved, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize it even more so in the writing of this, because, wow, we all have a need to be loved. And it's almost like it's conditional love. If I please you or do for you, then you're going to love me back. So I really had to look at when am I just pleasing the other? Yes, you want to please another person because you love them. But if I'm sacrificing some things, if I'm sacrificing myself, that's not the healthiest thing to do.
No, and that gets back to negotiation.
It is.
Is being open and honest. And mm-hmm. I think that's another thing, is being able to express how you're feeling.
Yes.
And when you can't and you bury it, then you get resentful.
And I think the thing that we continually talk about is the importance of awareness. So the awareness of what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, the body sensations. So conflict is an opportunity to really help me center a little bit more, even though no one really likes conflict.
Yeah.
You know, conflict makes us feel uncomfortable, but conflict's a bit like yoga. I have to stretch, and sometimes the conflict forces me to stretch, to be more honest, maybe to really state my preferences or things that aren't working. And we, in our book, we give a lot of tools how to do it really well, how to do it in an appropriate way so that the results are more love and more intimacy.
Right. So you don't really have to fear conflict that way.
Right.
You know, because some people, they fear it. And if you fear it, you stay away from it. But it is there. And if you lie about it, that it's not there, or you pretend that it's not there, it's like molten lava underneath. And it sometimes explodes. And then you've got this lava flow jumping out of, you know, a volcano. And so that's why it's so important, like you were talking about, to be mindful. Say, gee, I'm feeling upset. I'm feeling angry. Why? Ask yourself why. What is it going on? And then instead of blaming your partner, say, you know, I'm feeling hurt, or I'm feeling upset about this, and I'm not even quite sure why, but it just feels bad. And then talk about it, like, rather than just burying it there, because it will come out insidiously.
And I think the thing is, people are frightened of conflict because we tend to think of conflict in extreme measures. Conflict leads to violence or abuse or whatever, but really conflict is if I have a disagreement and that I'm upset about something or a need is not being met. And I think growing up, we're often taught as little children, oh, don't get mad, or don't get sad, or shut down your feelings.
Right.
And so as a result, we shut down our feelings. And then when the conflict is feeding there, it almost can come out in an explosion. I think that's what we're frightened about.
Right. I think during this whole time when we were writing, and I was really doing a lot of research on the brain and how emotions are automatic. We are not in charge of those emotions when they first come out. You know, it basically will automatically get mad or automatically they happen, okay? But then once they happen, then we can analyze them and say, what do we want to do with them? Do I want to let my anger take me, or do I want to say, okay, I'm angry, I want to talk about it. What's really behind the anger? So I think that's really an important issue.
And, you know, I think as we were talking, we were kind of reviewing our book and some of the chapters that really resonated. I think one of them was forgiveness chapter.
Mm.
And in the forgiveness chapter, we talked about the three R's. So you recognize what's going on. You recognize the conflict, recognize the anger, so that you can then release it, let it go. And then we have strategies about how to actually release the anger, the emotions.
Yeah.
And then you can resolve. It means that it feels that there's some resolution, because really conflict, when there's, like, when you and I have had conflict and then we resolved it, I feel better.
Yes.
It's like, wow, I feel like we've really come to a working arrangement together that creates even more collaboration.
It's more collaboration, and it feels like we're friends again.
Yes.
Yeah, and we also feel like, oh, wow, that's a better solution. And when we have that conflict, then from the conflict emerges a better solution when you're really working it through. And I think that's beautiful. And it's almost, when we think about nature, what goes on in nature, you know, a snake has to go through conflict to get its new skin, or a butterfly has to be a caterpillar and struggles to get out, or a new baby has to struggle to get out, and then it's beautiful. So conflict really, it's not negative if we use it appropriately, and that's the whole point, to make it the gift. So let's talk a little bit about some of the chapters so that people know if they're interested in wanting to read it.
And I want to say this too, you know, to the listeners, Mari, is that, you know, our goal was to present this material in a very practical, down-to-earth. We have lots of examples. I think we
cartoons
because we wanted to incorporate some fun, some levity into a subject that can be covers a lot of sometimes intense material.
Right.
And we have a lot of examples so that we can make this very
stories
practical.
In there, stories. Real stories of real clients. But we changed the names to protect the guilty or innocent.
And we even have fighting for love exercise at the end of each
yes.
chapter. Okay, so the fighting for love exercises really help the individuals who are reading the book take a look at themselves a little bit more in depth, and also the relationship, so that, again, our goal was to make it really practical, down to earth, add some humor, and with some very concrete tools that people can use in their life.
And I think what's important to know is that we practice these exercises. You know, I would practice some of these on Lloyd. He was a very good sport. And we looked at those exercises and really said, well, you know, how do these exercises work? And they're exercises that help us grow. And one of the things that I think I learned from doing these exercises on my own is a lot of it is recognizing that we have to really appreciate and love ourselves. If we don't love ourselves, we don't have any love to give. And that may sound like, oh, well, we're not supposed to love ourselves. We're not supposed to be conceited. We're not supposed to be this. This isn't about that. It's about really accepting who we are, growing to be better, but really loving ourselves, because that's what love is all about.
Absolutely. You know, although we say fighting for love turned conflict into intimacy, it's a couple's guide. This is speaking to your point, Mari. Really, the bottom line is doing all these exercises, forgiveness, boundaries, bridging connection, is really to practice more self-love. And if I love myself, I'm able to share more love to my partner or even to the rest of the world.
Yes.
Because we're sorely in need of a lot more love in the world, Mari.
Absolutely. And you know, when you talk about forgiveness, first we had forgiveness in a bunch of different chapters. And then we said, wait a minute, forgiveness is so important. We have to make a whole chapter on forgiveness. And a lot of it is really learning. I think one of the things that really came out to me as I was writing it is, I have to forgive myself. Sometimes the hardest person in the world to forgive is yourself, especially if you're a perfectionist. You get mad at yourself because you didn't do something as well as you thought you should have done it. And so I think one of the things that I've learned in the past 2 years was really to kind of forgive myself as well. And then I can be more forgiving to my partner, my children, my friends. Don't you think
that's... You know, it is really very important because even though, I mean, we're human beings, I get angry, I get frustrated, and there are times that I'm not in my best. And so when I'm not, I can just be more patient and understanding, says, okay, I didn't sleep well, or there were some circumstances that happened that a need was not being met. And this is an opportunity for me just to, okay, I can accept myself. I can forgive myself. Forgiveness is nothing more than letting go, releasing it. I don't have to beat myself up. As we say, if a snake bites me, even if someone does something to me, holding on to the poison isn't going to make me a better person.
No, because it only hurts me.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's the real thing. If you really love yourself, you will forgive. You give it up for yourself so mm-hmm. you don't carry it. It's like having this heavy bag on your back. And when you forgive someone, it doesn't mean you forget, because you want to learn from the situation. You forgive, but you don't forget, but you don't hold a grudge. And if that person is someone who's not healthy to be with in your life, you let go and you don't have that relationship and you wish them well and
you
move
can
it
let
on.
Go with love.
Yeah, you let go with love.
With love.
And if it's someone that you want to be with and there is that mutual forgiveness and that mutual apology or whatever it is, then you can be together and you'll be stronger. As long as you, when you forgive someone and you want to stay with them, then they have to really make amends mm-hmm. and change something.
Yes.
And say, okay, I'll never do that again, or I promise I will really work on that issue. But forgiveness frees us.
It frees us to, and then we really follow it up with another chapter, and that is change your thinking, change your love life.
Oh, wow,
so
that was a big one.
It frees us so that I can then begin to change my thinking. We know how many thoughts we have, thousands of thoughts in one day. And most of our thoughts are just unconscious. They're just going through. We're not really consciously thinking how I want to relate to the world. And so in that chapter, Change Our Thinking, is we're really saying, well, you can change your thinking. You can change the way you think about yourself and your partner. Because it always amazes me is that, you know, three people could be looking at the same situation and will see three different results. But all of it depends upon how they're thinking and what they're projecting out onto the world.
Right. And it's so important. I think this is another big one for me. That chapter really changed me, because I would find myself thinking something negative maybe about Lloyd, and then I would say, wait a minute, I'm going to change that thought. And I would change it to something positive. And then I would feel better. And then I think that would enhance our relationship. So as I caught myself from a negative thought to a positive thought, it changed my whole attitude about things. It's again getting back to that mindfulness of, what am I thinking? Why am I thinking that? That's a terrible thought. Why would I think that? And really changing to the point where we have that real positive attitude toward ourselves and others. It's so easy to be programmed, because of our limbic system in our brain, to be programmed to negativity, that we have to really change that.
And to change it, I have to be empowered. And when I say to myself, I know we've discussed this, Mari, is that if I have conflict with one individual, someone else, I say, it's not them, it's me.
Right.
And you say, well, wait a minute, what if it is them? No, it isn't them, it's me, because the only point of power is with me. So yes, they could have done something that offends me, that could have done something inappropriate, but it is really me. It's up to me to change. I can respond in a whole different ways.
Yes.
So I think that's the point of power in changing our thinking, that we can be the masters of our lives.
Right, right. It's not what happens to us, it's what we respond to. Mm-hmm. And we can, we have so many choices as to how we want to respond to something. And that empowers us. We say, oh, well, I have the choice. I could get mad, or I can just release this, or, you know, walk away. I don't have to be engaging in this craziness.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm. So I think we should kind of go through what the chapters are. And just, why don't you go through, and we've got our little table of contents.
Well, we have a table of contents. So really, one of the first chapters is, what's the gift in conflict? As we talked about, conflict is definitely a gift.
Yeah.
And then
the second one was, why do you fight? We talked about
that.
Which
is huge, because we fight based on our conditioning that we learn from our families. And that takes us into the next chapter is...
I just want to go back to why we fight. And from all the divorce mediation that I've done over the years, blame, guilt, judgment, criticism,
resentment,
contempt, all of those approaches are really what cause fights. Mm-hmm, they cause a fight. Yes, you can have different perspectives, but you can have a different perspective than me and we don't have to fight. Mm-hmm. So it's really how we blame and talk to the other person. So go ahead. What's chapter three?
The third chapter is, what do you need and what do you want? And I found, being a therapist for 40 years, Mari, is that couples, individuals, often don't even know what they need.
Right.
And then when they do know what they need, they may not even tell their partner what they need. We expect our partner to, I don't know, magically know what I need. And then if they don't know what I need, then I'm going to be resentful as hell because they're not giving me what I need. So the bottom line is, well, what do I need? Obviously, the bottom line is, you all need to feel loved, accepted, understood,
respected, appreciated,
cared about. All these different needs are important in a relationship, or even just in living in life.
Yes. And we don't have a lot of time, so let's kind of go through. The next one was, you know, who am I and who are you? That's really kind of important. And we talked about the different types of personalities in that chapter, so that we can recognize, you know, if you're a dominant person, that doesn't mean you're bad. It's great because you get a lot done. But if I'm going to go head to head with you, two dominants, it's going to be really rough.
And having some strategies when different personalities, we cover about four basic personalities and how to actually manage that.
Stop the destructive patterns. Boy, patterns from childhood, right?
Those patterns are the strategies that we've learned how to deal with conflict. And we carry those old strategies that often don't work anymore into our current relationship. We have to know what our strategies are so that we can have new patterns.
Yes, and we can stop them. And then we talked about boundaries, and we talked about building bridges, and we talked about forgiveness and changing your thinking, which is the next one. And then we have strategies for solutioneerings.
That's a really great chapter. I mean, it's a very full chapter. I know you created the term solutioneering. And there's just some really very concrete steps. How do you actually, when there is a conflict, walk through these steps, step by step by step, mm-hmm. to get to the solution?
Yes. And then transforming to hostility with hard love. So when things get really hostile, you haven't dealt with them, we have a strategy for that. And then finally, healing from the inside out, which really is a way for us to see sometimes a relationship needs to end. And so that's just right now we have to end.
And we had tips. So I was going to say, we leave with a final tip.
Okay.
And the final tip that we have is lighten up, laugh, and have fun.
Exactly. And that's what we did. We finally learned to do that. Okay, Leonard, you are just wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much, Mari.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Love is worth fighting for.